In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The good news starts here. Today begins the season of Epiphany, a brief season in between all the holy days surrounding Christmas and all the holy days surrounding Easter. This is also the season when the darkest part of the winter has passed. Though some long nights remain, each one will be shorter than the last. Now, as we heard tonight in our first reading, darkness is precisely where the Bible begins. The world begins as a formless void covered with darkness and deep waters. It is nothingness, chaos. That was the material that God had to work with. But a wind from the mouth of God was blowing, and God spoke. And the first thing that God created with God's words was light. And that light instantly brought order. A distinction of light and darkness, day and night. And God began to do a new thing in the world to bring order, to bring light, to make the world a good place for us to live in it. The darkness and the chaos began to abate. At that moment, the fabric of reality changed. And so you may have noticed that I elongated our gospel reading a little bit to start at the very beginning of Mark's gospel, because Mark begins his gospel by pointing back to Genesis, back to the beginning. He uses the same words, the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now first, Mark points to John the Baptizer. John found his job description in the prophet Isaiah, and he was living it out, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. John's job was to help prepare the way for this new thing that God was doing. Repentance, as John explained, was to desist from those things that separated a person from God or from our neighbor. Those things that we call sin. And instead to be open for something new and unexpected to happen in our lives. Repentance was to be ready, to be prepared for a reordering of one's life, a turning away from chaos and disorder. And that would mean changes. Changes in the things that a person thought and said and did. An alteration in the choices that a person made, what they pay attention to, how they spend their time. Now, baptism and change were not for everyone. John wasn't particularly welcome in the cities and in the crowded places. Instead, he remained out in the wilderness. And those who were open to his message went out to him. One of those who went out to him was Jesus, John's cousin. And then the story of creation happened all over again. There was the chaos and the infertility of the wilderness. There were the heavens and the earth and the waters. And when Jesus had been baptized, that heaven that God had created was torn back open, and the Holy Spirit became visible like a dove. And once again, God spoke. God said, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." Creation happened again, and a new light shone in the person of Jesus, and once again the fabric of the universe was changed. Now this week was one for the history books. when our nation's capital was attacked and occupied by its own people. It was a week of chaos and darkness, a week of obscure motives and the sowing of terror. But the pattern that we see in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation is the consistent capacity of God to make order from chaos, to shine light into the darkness, and to do God's work precisely where it is most needed. Today we celebrate the baptism of our Lord, and as we do so, we remember our own baptisms. We remember the baptisms of Don and Cain just a couple months ago in the rainy beginning of November. We remember perhaps our own children or even our grandchildren's baptisms. We remember our own baptisms, whether we were old enough to be aware of them or not. We remember that we too have been baptized, that we have followed in the footsteps of Jesus. Now, baptism does not mean that some dark nights have not come into our lives. Baptism does not mean that we haven't, at times, found ourselves nearly drowning in the waters of chaos and disorder, buffeted by lies and the contempt of others. Baptism does not mean that we haven't struggled with our relationships, with our jobs, with our finances, with addiction. Baptism doesn't make the chaos and the deep waters of our life disappear. In fact, water is the symbol of baptism, isn't it? Baptism is grounded in those waters. It is precisely the chaos, the disorder, the deep waters, it is precisely in those places that we discover God at work. We might even say that it's right there in the chaos, in the waters, in the disorder, that God does God's best work, God's original work. In baptism, God has spoken a creative word into our lives. God has shown a light and created order in our worlds. In your baptism, God spoke these words over you. This is my daughter. This is my son, the beloved. With you, I am well pleased. The fabric of reality changed in that moment. For you, for me. And our world will never be the same again. The gospel begins with baptism. And baptism changes things. In baptism, we consent, we acquiesce to the creative power of God at work in our lives to bring order and light into our souls. Jesus experienced the creative power at work in his life as the Holy Spirit led him out into the desert. And there he prayed. He dwelt with God. He was tempted by Satan. He overcame that temptation and oriented his life irrevocably toward the purposes of God. And right there in the desert is where Jesus began his public ministry. So my question for you tonight, what began at your baptism? That same creative power of God is at work in you. That same invitation is issued to you over and over. The baptismal life is not all milk and honey. Sometimes it's in the desert where God does God's best work, where God takes the chaos and uses it to find order, where God takes the darkness and uses it to find light. During the season of Epiphany, with the increasing light and even the faint promises of spring, I invite you to remember your baptism. Remember how the voice of God has spoken with power into your life, creating light where there was darkness and inviting you into a new order of things. You are God's child, God's beloved. With you, God is well pleased. Amen.